a lot of people around you, and we realize our mindset has a lot to do with the way that we act and the way that we interact with other people. So what I'm attempting to do is teach you how to have a mindset that takes every thought obedient to the Lord. So that's what we're doing, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into our next message. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to focus our attention on your word, focus our attention on who you are, and focus our attention on how we interact with other people. So I'm thankful again for everything that you've done for us, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to inspire and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you like to be encouraged? I think most people would probably answer that in the affirmative. Yes, I like a little bit of encouragement every now and again. And sometimes the encouragement of another person can radically change our path in life. And it reminds me of a little story I read about a world-renowned photographer. His name was Edward Steichen. And basically, the first time he got a camera, he was 16 years old, and he took 50 pictures. 49 of the pictures were not good at all. And the 50th picture, or one of the 50, was a very good picture of his sister at a piano. He showed these pictures to his parents, and his dad was like, eh, you know. And his mom was like, wow, that one picture is really good. And his dad was discouraging to him and kind of like saying, like, you know, don't waste your time with this camera. But his mom was like, this is an amazing picture, and just continued to encourage him. And basically what happened was he wound up going into photography, becoming a world-renowned photographer, and he would say it was because of the encouragement of my mom on that one picture. 49 failures, one picture that was a success, one picture that my mom found appreciation and loved, really encouraged me to do this now. So the question I have for you is this: how encouraging are you towards other people? How encouraging are you towards other people? Today, we are going to learn that having a mindset of encouragement in order for us to encourage other people. We have to have a mindset of encouragement in order for us to be encouraging types of people. So Romans chapter 15, if you turn there with me, I believe it tells us three things for us to develop a mindset of encouragement. And the first thing is this: a mindset of encouragement seeks to build others up. A mindset of encouragement seeks to build others up. Let's look at verses 1-3. Verse 1 says this: we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So here's what Paul's doing right now. He's saying we who are strong have an obligation to those who are weak. He's not talking about physical strength. He's actually talking about spiritual strength. He's saying, listen, if you're strong in the Lord, you have an obligation to those that are weak in the Lord. You have an obligation to encourage them, to seek to build them up. People can build other people up when they're built up themselves. So what he's appealing to is those of you who are strong in your faith, who are built up by the Lord, here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to build other people up. I've empowered and blessed you for a very specific reason, and that is for you to go and do the same to other people, for you to bless and encourage other people. Warren Wiersbe, the commentator, he says it like this. He says, the strong ought to bear the weakness of the immature Christians, and while doing this, seek to build them up in their faith. So our mindset has to be this: I need to build others up. I need to find those who God has placed in my life that maybe aren't that strong in their faith, and look for ways that I can help them to be stronger in their faith. So as Christians, we shouldn't be just thinking about ourselves. Hey, what he's challenging here is this self-centered mindset that we get in. When we feel encouragement from the Lord, when we feel built up from the Lord, sometimes we keep it to ourselves and we're very self-centered. And I can tell you this: no one has to teach us how to only think of ourselves. Do you agree with that? No one has to teach you how to only think of yourself, but you have to learn how to think of other people. Because you know what? When we wake up in the morning, the first person we usually think of is ourselves. how I'm feeling, what I feel like, how what I need to do today, who I need to talk to. We're thinking of all these different things, but they focus around ourselves. So the mindset of an encouraging person has to start to look outside and say, how can I build these other people up? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 actually says this, says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. So this is the mindset that we need to have. We need to say to ourselves, okay, how can I build others up? How can I seek to build others up? But then it begs this question. How do we do this? Like, I could tell you, like, you should seek to build other people up. Point two, the next point. But I think we really need some very practical ways to understand how we can do this daily. So what I would like to do is share with you four that I found in the scriptures on how we can really build each other up, build other people up. And the first one is something called generosity. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon all about having a mindset of generosity. But do you know when we're generous, it actually builds other people up? I want you to keep your thumb in Romans chapter 15 and turn back to Acts chapter 4. It's only one book of the Bible before Romans. And in Acts chapter 4, some of you might recognize this passage because this was the early church. And what the early church was doing is they were sharing things and having everything in common. So if somebody was lacking, somebody else would give something so that person wasn't lacking. So there's this interesting story about this guy whose nickname became encouragement. So let's look. It says this in verse 36 of Acts chapter 4. It says, thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So now we have this guy, Joseph. They called him Barnabas. They're like, hey, we have a nickname for this guy. His nickname is encouragement. Let me just tell you something about nicknames. You ever have a nickname before? Okay. Usually it's based upon something negative, right? Okay. I had a couple of nicknames when I was in like junior high, especially middle school. Very embarrassing. I won't even share. I ended my nickname career, in a sense, in college with a very good nickname. I'm not going to tell you because it would be kind of like bragging. But you could ask my kids if you want to know what my nickname was, because I brag to them. But here's the point. Imagine for a second, your nickname was encouragement. Hey, that guy or hey, that girl, they're an encouragement. Every time I see them coming my way, they're an encouragement. Well, how did this guy get this nickname? He sold an entire field, took all the proceeds, and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, here, I want to give to the cause of Christ and to my fellow believers. He was generous. So because he was generous, they gave him that nickname. Barnabas, son of encouragement. He's an encouraging guy. We love to be around him. If anybody's in need, Barnabas is going to save the day. He's going to encourage other people by giving to them and helping them. Well, you know what? I want to encourage you this morning. As most of you that were here for the announcements might have heard, last week we collected $4,000 for families in need in our church. You know what? That's a huge encouragement on many different levels. One, it's a huge encouragement to me as a pastor to see and be a part of a church that's that generous. That's an encouragement. Two, it's an encouragement to the people who receive those funds. If not for anything else, they felt the love of Christ, but they can step back and say, hey, you know what? That church is an encouragement. That was huge. In my time of need, God delivered and he used his people. What an encouragement. But it should be also an encouragement to all of us, not only for me as a pastor to say, hey, I'm part of this church, but for you to know that, you know what? If there is ever a time that I'm in need, I'm surrounded by a family that loves me and would be willing to help me in that way if they knew about that need. What an amazing encouragement to other people. That's seeking to build others up. Those of you who did give generously, you know what? We keep those names anonymous. You don't know who you helped, but you did it on behalf of the Lord. And that's so important. That's such an encouragement to each person. You know what? Last week also, something else happened. I know some of you can't be encouraging with your money because you don't have that much or there's not much left over. You're the one who's in need. But many of you are very encouraging with giving your time. Last week, we had a bunch of people here working on that Night in Bethlehem project that we do, the outreach that we do. And there were people, every time I came into this church, they were here. I saw their face. Every day that I came to work at the church, they were here. They were giving their time. It was an encouragement to all those people who were also serving. But not only that, it's an encouragement to our community to remind people what Christmas is all about. They were encouraged by the gift of their service. Many of you realize this. Many times our time is worth more than our money, isn't it? Some of us sit back and say, man, it's not money that's my problem. It's really my time. I just don't have enough. I have so many places where that are requiring of my time and I don't have enough. But to step back and say, you know what? I'm still going to give my time. The second thing that you can do, not only can you be generous, but the second way you can build others up is thank them for their service. Thank them for the good things they have done. Romans 1:8 says this, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. So Paul, what he was saying, he's saying, I thank God for you. Basically, he was saying, thank you. And not only am I so happy about what you've done on my behalf and your faith, but I am thankful for you to the Lord. So in life, we have many people around us that do many things for us. How often do we thank them? There's people in your life that you may have forgotten to thank. Now, in this world, we have text messages. We have Facebook messages. We have a direct, what's the one for Instagram? Direct message. We have email. We can thank people, right? Or you can kick it old school and like actually pick up the phone and talk to them and say thank you. Or you can even take it another level, write a card and put a stamp on it and make your way to the post office and deliver it, a thank you card to somebody. These are amazing things that we could do. But you know what? When you go over and above the call of duty and actually thank someone, it builds them up. It encourages them. It encourages them because sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget to say thank you to those who have helped us in some way, shape, or form. We forget to say thank you to those who have served us. So don't let those opportunities pass. Don't say, oh, I should have. Yeah, you're right. Just go out and do it. Say thank you. Have maybe one or two days a month where you just say, you know what? I'm just going to go over my life and look, and I'm going to write out a couple cards. I'm going to thank people for what they've done in my life, for how they impacted me. The next thing that we can do to build others up is recognize their efforts. You and I all know that there's people in our lives that they have good intentions and they make an effort, but it just doesn't work out. If you're a parent, you've seen this with your kids, right? They have good intentions, they make an effort, and they fail because they're kids and they're trying things. They're trying to do certain things. You know what? In life, we need to recognize the effort of other people and say, hey, you know what? I know you wanted that to turn out better, but I just want to let you know that I really appreciate the fact that you tried. The fact that you actually gave some effort to that cause, whatever it might be. The fact that your intention was good. Maybe it didn't work out the way that you wanted it to, but your intention was good, and I'm thankful for that. You know what Galatians 6:9 says? It says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know what that's saying? That's an encouragement. You're doing good. Maybe you're not seeing the fruit that you want to see. Maybe it's not working out the way that you want it to. But in Galatians, he says, listen, don't grow weary. The way that we don't grow weary is have people around us saying like, hey, you know what? Good job. That was helpful. Or I admire your effort. I admire your faithfulness. I admire the fact that you're trying. And even though you're not doing well at this, I admire the fact that you continue to try. You know, if you're a parent, you have to be a master at this. If you're a parent, you have to be a master at this because you don't want your child to have a crushed spirit, to be defeated constantly. But if you're a parent, you know, like, this is my job right now. Like, I have to really be behind this kid and really be focusing in on what they need to do and help them and encourage them. And I know they'll fail, but I'm going to be the safe place for them to be picked up again and brushed off and try again. And if they fail again, I'm the safe place again and again. But the fourth thing that we can do to build others up is our speech. And this is in regards to not necessarily saying thank you or saying encouraging words, but people around us should be built up by just the conversations that we have. Now, Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." You know what that means? That means that when you're talking with other people, that person that's hearing you and other people that are around that are listening should be built up by what you say. Your conversation should be that other people are receiving grace when they hear it. That means if you're the type of person that's gossiping all the time, if you're the type of person that's complaining all the time, that doesn't build anyone up. That actually tears people down. That actually tears the hearers down. I remember someone once told me, like, you know, they were brought up in a Christian family and the parents always were critical and complained about church all the time. They always complained and were critical about the church. And they said that really left an impact on them as a young child. I grew up in an environment where my parents were always complaining about the church. It made me complain about the church. And the important thing for us to remember is when we're speaking to other people and about things, the other people hearing us should be blessed by it. It should be an encouragement to them. You parents out there, if there's something that you can't talk about in front of the kids, you have to step back for a second and say, should I even be talking about this? Is this something that's even helpful for me to be saying or anybody to be hearing? So our speech is so important. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to be around people that are inspiring and saying things that are helpful, saying things that are useful for life. I don't want to be dragged down by a bunch of people that are gossiping, complaining, and angry about things all the time. But if we're honest, sometimes we're guilty of those things. So that's where our mindset has to change, and we have to say, am I really building people up by hearing this? You know, I've shared this before, the THINK acronym. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? You ever see that? I used that in a sermon one time. That's what we have to do. Before we speak, we have to think, is this going to be helpful for the people around us? Our speech has so much to do. It's a little bit of a window into who we are and what's going on into our life, in our lives. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to keep this encouraging mindset. And it's because there are people around us that are a discouragement, that they're complaining all the time, they're gossiping all the time, they're angry. Maybe when I even said that, you're like, you know, Pastor Mike, you just described my day at work. You just described my family. You just described all my friends. How can I get away from this negativity? There's nobody encouraging around me. And you're just thinking, how can I have a mindset of encouragement when there's no one encouraging around me? But that brings us to our second point, and that's this. A mindset of encouragement seeks encouragement from the scriptures. Let's look at verse 4 in Romans 15. He says this, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So if you're surrounded by people that are not encouraging, they're not building you up, well, your mindset is going to be contaminated by those people. Can you get away from them? Maybe in some cases you can, but for the most part, it's almost like we're stuck with the people around us, aren't we? Okay? You got your family, you got your friends, you got your neighbors, you got your people at work, you got your people in school. These are the people that you're seeing all the time. So if they're constantly negative, it could impact you negatively. If they're discouraging, it's going to be a discouragement. If they're not encouraging, you're probably not going to encourage. So what do we do? Well, we have to continually go to the scriptures. In order to be an encouragement, we have to maintain our mindset of encouragement by daily going to the scriptures. Think about it this way. We all have phones, right? We all have phones. What do we need to do daily with our phone? You just have to plug it in the wall and charge it up. Why? So we can use it. Well, that's the same thing with God and His Word. We need to plug in and charge up so that we can use it. If you're in an environment like at work or school and your family or friendships that's constantly toxic for you, constantly drawing from you, not recharging you, not encouraging you, but tearing you down and filling your mind with things that don't need to be there, eventually it's going to take its toll on you. Eventually, you're going to become the very people that you don't want to be unless you start with the scriptures. Unless you go to the scriptures for that daily recharge. That's why I suggest, and a lot of people suggest, you know, start your day with it. That's why when we see Jesus, what did he do? He woke up very early and went and prayed to the Father. I mean, Jesus was God. Did he need the recharge? He didn't. But he went because it was an example, and his relationship with his Father was the most important thing to him. So we have to think to ourselves, am I doing that? And then you have to think to yourself this. Sometimes, you know, when we know a lot about the scriptures, we think, well, I know those things already. Like, I don't need to do that again. I don't need to read that again. But listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:12. He says this, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. So he's saying, hey, you know what? I realize what you're thinking. I know you know these things, but I'm going to continue to remind you. Why? So we forget. We forget. So what type of encouragement does the scriptures have for us? Well, I can tell you what, this is a life book. There is always going to be a word of encouragement for you. But this morning, what I'd like to do is go to a very famous passage in Romans chapter 8, and I'd like you to turn there with me just to kind of give you a little burst of encouragement this morning about what God has done on our behalf. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a ton of stuff there, but I want to point out a few things. The first is this. You and I can be encouraged because God is for us. God is for us. Know this. That you have a Father in heaven who loves you more than you love yourself, and he is for us. The second thing we know is God gives graciously to us. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not then also give us all things? If you're wondering, is God going to meet my needs? Am I going to be able to pay the bills? Am I going to be able to provide for my family? Am I going to be able to do whatever it is that I'm worried or anxious about? Well, you know what? He is the one who graciously gives us all things. And if you challenge that, he says this. Look what he gave you. What did he give us? He gave us his son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. The Bible's clear when it says Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that he was God. The Bible's also clear when it says all who believe will have eternal life. Here's the point. You might be discouraged right now, But knowing that God is for you and knowing that He graciously gives to you should be a reminder. And if you're not reminded, here's what you need to do. Remember He says, who was raised? Do you know why Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, there's various reasons why. One was to conquer death and show that He was God. But you know what another thing? Another reason He was raised from the dead? It's a constant reminder for us that no matter what the situation, He will raise something up out of it. He will bring new life through it. He will see you through it. He will help us through it. The power of the resurrection shows us so much because you know what? You might be very discouraged right now. But let me just tell you, because of the resurrection, you can be encouraged that God can breathe new life into that situation. I know some of you come into this church and you probably have a heavy weight on your shoulders and you're wondering, what can ever make it different? Well, I could just tell you this. God is for you. God will graciously give to you. His resurrection proves that He can provide deliverance in whatever situation that you're dealing with. But then He goes on to this whole thing, what can separate us from the love of God? And the important thing that we have to know as Christians is this. God secures our salvation. I just spoke to someone just recently at night in Bethlehem. I think it was the first night. And they said, oh, you know, I'm going to this church and I really like the preaching. I really like it. The only thing that I don't agree with, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal, is that they teach that you can lose your salvation. I was like, ah! I was like, that's a huge deal, okay? Let me just tell you, you cannot lose your salvation. That's what this scripture is telling us. Do you know why you can't lose your salvation? Because God did all the work for your salvation. You and I did none of the work. So there's nothing that we can do to lose it. There's everything that He does to keep it. So let me just tell you, if you're going to a church, which you're not because you're coming to this church, but if you ever decide to go to a church that you like everything except they tell you you can lose your salvation, go, and run, okay? Just get out of there because it's false teaching. Because that's not what the scriptures teach. But you know what? Knowing that is an encouragement. When I get up in the morning and know that nothing's going to change my final destiny. You know, many bad things can happen in life, and many of you are recipients of many of those bad things. Many of you have weathered many storms. But you know this to be true, that God is for you, that He graciously gives to you, and that you are secure in your salvation. If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, that's never going to be taken away. But then that reminds us of this. God will bring us through those difficult situations. What did He say? He said, you're more than conquerors in Christ. You know what that means? You're not just conquerors. You're more than conquerors. That's even better than a conqueror, just to let you know, okay? More than conquerors. That means in any situation that comes your way, He is there for you. Do you know what? I'll start my day with that. I'm going to be able to take on whatever comes my way. But the problem is sometimes we fail, don't we? We forget to start our day like that. And then we get to work and we're like, hey, what's up? You know, then everybody's complaining. You're like, you're right. You know what? It's hot in December. I hate that. Should be like Christmas. Okay? That's what you know how many people said that to me this morning? I'm like, seriously? Like, you're going to complain about that? I just did a message about positive thinking last week. So anyway, when we focus on these truths, it's a great encouragement to know that no matter what, God is in control. He has our back. And because I've been encouraged by Him, I can be an encouragement on behalf of Him to other people. Which really brings us to our last point, and that's this. A mindset of encouragement seeks to bring glory to Jesus. Verses 5 through 7 talks about that. Let's look at back at Romans 15. 5 through 7 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. When we have a mindset of encouragement, we desire to live in harmony with other people, and we genuinely want the best for them. So we're going to seek to bring glory to God by encouraging one another, by helping one another in their time of need. 2 Corinthians 7:5-6, Paul, he illustrates that, and he says, you know what? I needed an encouragement. Basically, this is what Paul is saying. I need encouragement, and God sent Titus to comfort me. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the super Christian, needed encouragement. And Titus came to his rescue and encouraged and comforted him in the Lord. That brings glory to Jesus. That's our job to do with one another. We want to bring glory to Jesus by encouraging our fellow Christians. You know what? You might have come out to church today and you're like, okay, yeah, I want something. I want to hear a message. I want to sing some worship songs. But you know what? Don't forget that God brought you here to encourage someone else. God brought you here to inspire someone else. God brought you here to be encouraged by someone else. God brought you here to be inspired by someone else. You are very important to this group of people here. You have something that they need to hear, and it's for the glory of Jesus. Romans 1:12 states that we can mutually encourage one another in the faith. It doesn't say just listen to the pastor and he's the vehicle of encouragement. It says mutually encourage one another in the faith. Sometimes we're at a loss for how we can do this. And it reminds me of a story of this elderly widow who was restricted at home. And she was eager to serve the Lord, but she didn't really know how she was going to do this because she was restricted at home. But she could play the piano. She could play hymns. And she did that for many years. So she decided to take an ad out in the local paper. This was before the internet and before all these things. She decided to take out an ad in the local newspaper. And it said this: a pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and restricted at home. Call this number. Literally, in the course of a few months, hundreds of people called. They would call, request a hymn. She'd put the phone on top of the piano and play the hymn. After she played the hymn, she'd grab the phone. And to her surprise at first, but it became commonplace, they would just literally tell her all their problems, tell her what they were going through. And she would have opportunities to encourage them with the scriptures and encourage them with more hymns. What an amazing testimony of how the Lord can use someone who has a heart's desire to bring glory to Jesus. You know what? Our interactions with other people are a little window into our relationship with the Lord. If you're a really encouraging person, people look and say, that person's got something that I want. That person, this elderly widow, she had something that we should all want, a desire to serve Christ, even being confined in our own home, in an environment where we would think that we could do nothing. God provides the vehicle to do something. If our relationship with the Lord is where it needs to be, we're going to bring glory to Him by encouraging other people. So the mindset of encouragement says, I want to do this. I want to bring glory to Jesus. And I want to accomplish that by building others up. And I'm going to daily look for encouragement in the scriptures so I can continue to do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you for the encouragement that you've brought to me in all the years of my life with all the Christians that I know, but especially from those that are in this church. Their faith has been such an encouragement to me over the many years. And I pray that we can continue to mutually encourage one another in our faith so we can bring glory to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray.